Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're so kind to us, so merciful, loving, faithful. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time as we gather to hear your word. And I pray, Father, that you open our hearts, our mind, our attention to you. And I pray, Lord, that our soul be still, that we behold your glory, that we're able to honor and glorify you. Give us the understanding. Help us, Father, on this day. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning. You hear me well in the back? As you all know, I'll be leaving the church. I got a job transfer to South Carolina, and I just want to say a few words before we enter into today's teaching. It has been a great honor to serve you and to be part of the church, and I'm thankful for our pastor, Tafiq, who gave me the opportunity to be part of the teaching team, so I'm thankful, and I will greatly miss you all. Lord willing, this will not be the last that we see one another. I mean, I have one more Sunday. So I will be leaving June 30th. And after that, then will be more times to come, right? If it's not in this earth, I will see you in heaven, right? So, but I didn't come here to talk about me or my experience here in GCA, Great Church Austin. Came here to behold the glory of God. And normally, if you have been following any of my teachings, I normally go to the book of James, but today I decided to go to the book of John. And it's related to my journey, my walking in the state of Texas. I visited one church and was a member, still a member of GCA, but I was a member of Community Baptist Church. Before that, I visited Grace Church community and Grace Church community in San Antonio. And I found that, again, a common denominator, but in our life, in my life and in my family as well, about the topic of love. So the Lord taught us a lot about love, his definition of love. But at the same time, we were able to witness that there is a need of all of us to grow more love for thee, referring to God, and more love for one another. So let's go and open our Bibles to John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Normally, I don't start my teaching with a question, but I want to challenge you the same way I have been challenged. So today, I want to start with a question. And normally, it's a question for Sunday school, so it's very fitting. And the answer that I expect is also a very common answer, response. You ready? Do you love God? I have here my notes. If you answer yes, another question follow. As a matter of fact, must follow. Do you love me? I'm using myself. I'm not using anybody else. But in the context, will be one another. Do you love me? Now, I'm going to make a pause for those questions. First one again, do you love God? Second question, do you love me? That's a pause for us to meditate. I ask both because one cannot go with the other one. If you answer yes to the first one, you must answer yes to the second one. All right, so let's go to the text. John chapter 13, verses 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, we're going to look at 4 points that are here clear in the text. One, love commanded. Two, Jesus' example of love. Three, love one another. And fourth, the mark of a disciple. So Lord willing, we're going to be able to wrap this up and you will leave. Hopefully you will leave this place knowing these 4 points. Now, just to give you a little bit of the context, if you look at the text here, preceding these verses 34 and 35, there's something that is happening here. Remember, this is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. So I want you to bring you into that picture. So imagine yourself in that setting, okay? This is when Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 34, Jesus said, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Listen to this. And God is glorified in him. What a statement. He's saying now, knowing what it was to come, and that it is Jesus' crucifixion. So it is in this setting that Jesus is saying this amazing word. He said, now the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So he didn't say this word when on the transfiguration, when that happened. He could have said that. He didn't. Right? We saw what happened there. It's just a miracle right there. He didn't say such a word or such a statement when God said, this is my son, when he was baptized. So, brothers and sisters, this is very important. It's so important that he established that setting, and then what after that is this new commandment. Did you get it? He's saying, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. And then on verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give to you. Now, he could have said many things. Remember, Jesus is the Son of God. When he speaks, there's no mistake. There's no error. He knows the exact verbs. He knows everything, and he chose to give us this new command. I don't know about you, but that still amazed me. He could have said any other words in the same setting after he's saying, now the Son of Man is glorified. And then in verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have loved one another. Again, the Creator, he could have any other statement. And he didn't. He didn't. Okay, so we live in the world, right, where the word love is very much misused. People said, I love, and they just say it because it's sometimes it's right to say it. Sometimes people are afraid to say otherwise. That is so misused that we're, even myself, I had used it without the biblical meaning. But that's the word. We're called to, when we speak, we truly speak with what it means in the Bible. I have a few examples here I want to share with you. Some have said, I am poor and I aborted my baby because I love him so much that I do not want him to live a life of misery. One woman said, I love him so much, but I kill him because I don't want him to be with another woman. Others cover their sins for the sake of friendship and marriage. So I see immediately something is wrong with these statements, right? And that's the misuse of the word love. So as you hear me, think about when you say I love you. So I found other examples that are more kind of famous and people that you may know. And I'm doing all of this just to prepare our hearts to see there's a difference, or should be a difference, when the people talk about the word love and Christians. I want to present you the contrast. Tracy Ellis Ross, she's an actress. She said this, I need to see my own beauty and to continue to be reminded that I am enough, that I am worthy of love without any effort, that I am beautiful, that the texture of my hair and the shape of my curve, the size of my lips, the color of my skin, and the feeling that I have are all worthy and okay. Karishma Tanna, she's a model, she said this, be beautiful, be stylish, and love yourself. Frank Sinatra, an American singer, very famous here. Alcohol may be man's worst enemy, but the Bible says love your enemy. So if you notice carefully, something is wrong. It seems like the world has relaxed what Jesus commands in this text. It sounds to me not only is degrading, but it's also flexible or changeable, right? Seems like it all depends on how you look, on how you feel. But the question is, do you believe that Jesus is presenting us that definition of love in the text? I don't think so. Seems like Jesus will be a worthless standard of conduct to follow. So the answer is no, I don't think so. So we immediately see a problem with the definition of love. I want to bring you back to the text. So the problem is, however, and here's what I want you to take note, is that there are a few people that have an idea of what love means, or what the true definition of love is. Most people, including us Christians, okay, I'm not going to take us out of the picture because it's true, seem to think only in terms of feelings or warm affections, emotions, and even desires. So yes, it has, in a way of you know, kind of subtle, have entered into the church as well. Joe MacArthur said, when we say I love you, we often mean I love me and I want you. This is very opposite of the love that Jesus is commanding on the text. So we must be honest and ask, what is Jesus commanding in the text? What is Jesus commanding the text? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Jesus is introducing a definition of love here. It's not new in a way that they haven't heard before. But I want you to take note of this. It is new because they have not seen anyone else before to lay down his life for the sake of others. No one have done that for the forgiveness of sin. So that is new, that is fresh in the mind, even of those that were sitting, his disciple. And it is new to us. Some of us have that understanding and others don't have. They don't know. We don't know the true definition of love. And here's Jesus teaching. But he's teaching, but he's giving a command. And that's the first point, that love is commanded. Love is commanded. So the definition of love that nobody else has seen or heard before, where a man here, Jesus is the Son of God, will give his life for them, and that they are commanded to do the same for others. So Jesus, after those words, he's the new standard of love, period. Nothing else should be our standard for love. Nothing else but Jesus. And if you live today by that thought in your mind, amen to that. There's no other standard but Jesus. But again, he will show the greater manifestation of love. Remember, the setting is the night before his crucifixion. So he's going to show them the greatest manifestation of love by him laying down his life on the cross, dying for sinners. The love that Jesus is talking about, you probably heard this before, is agape love. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So this definition is new to all mankind. And this kind of love never refers to romantic or sexual love. This is not eros love. This is not storge love, phileo. This is agape love. So eros love is romantic, sexual in nature, and storge love is parents and children. Phileo is friendship, brothers. But this is a different love. And this love that he's commanding is the same love that he's commanding all of us to imitate. You get that? It's not the other love. It's one love, and that is agape love. In the context, he's calling all of us to love one another with the same kind of love that Jesus is presenting and commanding. That's very important. And agape love is the greatest form of love, and this love is that God has himself for us, his children. And this is the love that he displayed in action. In John 3:16 mentioned this when Jesus said, for God so loved, that's that verb in action, agapao, the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is the love. See that God has for us. And this is the very love of God that is a divine and self-sacrificing love. And in 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love. Again, agape love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. So agape love is willing to die to self and live for others. And that may include giving ones our own life for others. Think about those missionaries, the martyrs that have gave their life for the sake of others. They do it in response to the love of God, but it's a reality they're giving their life for others as well. What motivated them? The motivation is first the love that they have for God, but also they feel love for God. You see, that is reciprocal. Their response is because they felt the love of God, that they have no other option but to go out and manifest that love to others. That's the response. That's the answer. Now, don't get discouraged because not everybody's called to give their life. There's other people that show agape love, not dying for one another. But the question is, are you willing if the time comes? You see that? So it's a matter of the heart. Are we willing to give our own life for others? Because it may happen. So this is the kind of love that demands from us even to love our enemy. That's Matthew 5:44-45. Now back to the text again. Notice that Jesus is not saying love one another. So he said love one another even as I have loved you. You see that? He's giving us the command, and now he's telling us, as I have loved you. Now, in the context, we know what happened before he said this word. He did what? He washes the disciple's feet. Right? So he did that. He humbled himself. He washed the disciple's feet, and he's showing that act of love in a way of humility. Jesus is giving us a fresh look at how is to love. Remember, our definition of love must come from the teaching and conduct of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. We are called to walk as he walked, 1 John 2:6, and do not get distracted or misguided regarding what we see in the society, regarding what the world is teaching us. So if you're a Christian here this morning, you must love like Christ loved. And let's remember, John reminds us that this is the love of God, the 1 John 5:3, if we obey his commandment. So if we are Christians, if we're truly his children, and if we love God, we must love one another. We must love one another. So, brothers and sisters, the Christian standard is not any kind of love, but Christ-like love. The same love that Jesus demonstrated in his incarnation throughout his life and his death on the cross is our prime example. He's the one that we should be following. So let's look at some of the example of that love. In John 13:3-5, as I already mentioned, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God, and I was going back to God, rose from supper. He lay aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So not only he took a knee to wash, but he also dried them. You see the complete work there? Now I want you to meditate on this. Think about this. Do you hear Jesus saying, I love you? And you find in the Bible, I love you. So imagine the picture, Jesus the King, ruler, savior, humbled himself to wash the dirty feet. They were stinky too. It's a reality, it's a fact of the weak and sinful disciples. This is love in action without even saying a word. It was just that love in action. Precisely, this is the kind of love that Jesus had in mind when he's giving this command. As I love you. So in his mind is, I serve you and I will be serving you. So not only he served throughout his ministry, but he served until the last minute. And he showed love in action until his last breath on the cross. Jesus demonstrated his love for the disciple by serving them. And it's the same calling. It is the same calling that we have, the same responsibility that we have. Regarding this account, John MacArthur said this, by washing their dirty feet, by taking the role of a slave, by doing the distasteful thing, the sacrificial thing, loving one another, is not just feeling little pangs of emotion. It is serving when you willingly sacrifice what you want for the good of another, when you choose to fill the need of someone instead of satisfying your own need. Then you really love, no matter what your emotions may be. That is what God expects. Now, this kind of love, the agape love, is a love of commitment, okay? It's a love that responds godly, no matter what the person has done to you. Imagine the worst things that can happen to you, that any other human can do to you. Your response of love is the same. It's not based on the feeling, because you may be grieving. You may have feel offended. Whatever the case may be, your response is the same. It's a love that is in action. It's a love that is committed, not based on my feeling. I'm hurt, but I'm not going to do the same to you. That is loving. I'm hurt, but I'm not going to take vengeance against you. I'm not going to avenge. Jesus is the avenger, right? So I want you to have that in your mind, that this love is not based on how you feel. If you based your response on the emotions, you're going to feel failing over and over and over again. This is something that comes out of love from God, triggered by his grace and his Holy Spirit for you to act accordingly to his will in a godly response. That is the love that Jesus is talking about here. It is the love that God himself gave his only begotten son to the world while we were still sinners. That is the love that he's talking about here. It's the maximum expression of love. It's, again, he's not commanding us to do eros love or phileo love. No, it's agape love. So we see, like, it is almost impossible to even get close to the standard of Christ. Right? You feel that heaviness in you. I feel it. But if I tell you that it's possible, would you believe me? If I ask you, have you feel this love from another brother? Will you say yes? I have. As a matter of fact, I have received so much love that I found myself, you know, human now at this level, that I haven't been successful in my response to the way that I have been loved. But the standard of Jesus is the standard of perfection, and it's true. But the hope is that we can do this too. John Calvin said that is the best thing that we can give is imperfect love. And he's right. But that imperfect love is recognizing that the perfect One is Jesus Christ. But that our desire is to love like he loved us. But we fall short. You get it, brother? We're still going to fall short. But that shortness and that failure, our failures, draw us near to the throne of grace daily to ask for more grace and more love for thee, right? And as we learn his love for us, that love is going to flow out. That should be our number one goal and number one prayer request daily. As you learn how much you have been forgiven, you will learn to forgive and love others. Until then, you will not grow, because it requires you to spend time in the Bible, time in prayer, seeking, clinging to the cross, seeing a fresh look daily on what happened after Jesus gave this new command, and that is his death on the cross. So Jesus loved us with a lot of humility, didn't he? That is humbling. Jesus the King washing his disciples' feet. Sometimes I ask, did he clean them well? Think about that. He cleaned them very well. He dried them. He took the time. No rush. I want you to take the picture again back to that upper room. Washing of the feet. Having communion all together. Saying that now I will be glorified. Think about that. And then giving that command. Like, I'm not leaving y'all without giving you this command and by showing you what true love means. That's amazing. That's, yeah. It's a lot so deep that I have no words on how to put it together for y'all. So Jesus loved with humility. Now, I concluded that no one can love without humility. I don't know what are your thoughts on it, but no one can love without humility. Only humble people love. Only humble people love. And Jesus loved unconditionally. Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us that in that while we were still sinners, take note of that, still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us sacrificially, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Did you get that? He was made sin for us, so that I am in him, we might become the righteousness of God. There's an exchange right there on the cross. He's placing his righteousness on us, at the same time removing our sin and be placed on him. There is an exchange. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. And yes, blood was required. And that's what happened on the cross. Remember, he fulfilled the law completely and perfectly. So there was blood shed on the cross. Holy blood. But it was shed on the cross. And there was what? Punishment happened on the cross too. The wrath of God fell upon his son. And he also loved with forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 give a beautiful description of what Christ's love is like. And through the believer who walk in the spirit and in obedience to God. This is what is called love in action. This is what Jesus is calling us to love one another. This is how it's going to look. And if you go, turn with me there. 1 Corinthians 13. And this is a very famous in the world. They quote this verse, but they don't know the love. They don't know the true definition of the love. But again, the question is not for the world here this morning. The question is for us. Do we know this love? Second, are we practicing this love? The love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the knowledge, it will pass away. Now, if you notice in the context what happened with Paul, he was addressing some issues that were happening in the Corinthian church. I don't want to spend time on it, but just to give you an idea, the Corinthian church was a gifted church. And even though they have been manifesting those gifts in an unorderly way, Paul addressed the order and correct them with love. But there's something really more important here that I don't want you all to miss. And if we go to verse 27, let's go there quick. I'll read. Now you are the body of Christ, an individually member of it. And God had appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gift of healing, helping, administrating, and various kind of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gift of healing? Do you all speak with tongues and do all interpret it, but earnestly desire the higher gift? And then he said, take note of that, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So he's saying, you can have all of this and this good, but I'm going to show you something even greater than what you have. And that's the way of love. And he jumped right on it. So it is something that really should drive us to a meditation on your gift, whatever gift you have. Think about this. If you have that gift and you don't love, it means nothing. You may think you have the best, or you may think you have this or that, but if you don't love, you have nothing. Let's remember, to love one another is to love the fellow believer as Christ loved us. Those who love like Christ will give evidence that they are his disciples. And that's what motivated me to come up with the title of the message, that it's a trademark of a Christian. If you notice back to the text, how Jesus connected to is amazing. It's a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Then goes, as I love you. And then he said, by this. Now, if you like me, you will be like, wait a minute, but how? I mean, I thought that by presenting the truth is loving. Well, that's implied in the text too. That is loving. But what Jesus is saying is, when the world see where all people see that we love one another in the context of the church. More specifically, the local church, right? Our call is to impact the community, that when they see how we love one another, they will know that we're truly his disciples. You see the connection? Again, Jesus could have come up with any other thing. Now, if we take the Bible as a whole, amen, yes, there's different manifestation of this agape love. But Jesus is saying something here that I don't want none of y'all to miss. By doing this, this love, loving one another in the form of agape love, that's how the world will know that we are his disciples. What's the implication in the text? If they don't see that love, that agape love among all, we're saying, we're telling others that we're not his disciples. This is deep. This is really, it's paramount. It's very important how Jesus connected the two. And I'm still meditating on his previous statement on John 13. Let me go back there again. When he said, if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify in himself. And then when he said also in verse 31, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God glorified in him. So a true believer will be known by his love. We can be out there doing evangelism, presenting the word of God on fire. We can be sending strong word, rebuking, all of it. Come up with anything that you have done and I have done and you have seen others do. Godly men do. If those that have done such a thing don't show love, it means nothing. You get the point? So words should follow action. If we say we love you, if I say I love you, I know the definition of true love. My action should accompany my definition of love, which should be the biblical love, the agape love. And is that not there? Then I'm telling you that I'm not truly one of his own. Romans 5:5 says, the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart. Did you get that? I mean, it is God who gives us his love in our hearts. So if we're truly his, that love is going to come out. I mean, we cannot even control it. We will be known by this love. There's no other way, brother, sister. There's no other way. Why? Because it is God, it is his word that shed his love in our heart. He's the one that put everything, desires, emotions, the will. We have a new desire to love him and to love the brother. They're connected. There's no other way around. So if we have made confession, what is the first fruit of love? I mean, of the Spirit. It is love. It's there for the reason. The rest comes because we love. And we love because he loved us first. There's no other way around. So, again, we possess the Spirit. His first fruit is love. So we have the capacity to love. So the question is, I have to ask, is this should be something natural happening all of us? I think it is. I think the why we don't love like he loves us is because we are disobeying him. And that takes us to the other verse where if we say we love him, we shall obey his commandment. So you see that everything is connected here. And if you try to bring one verse out of the whole picture, everything will crumble because it's all connected. We love because he first loved. He gave his Spirit that dwells in us. that brings the fruit of love should be something natural in us. We should be known by this love. Everything is connected. And again, it's not based on feeling, because if my response is based on feeling, then definitely right off the bat, I'm not going to be able to love. I go deeper, you're not going to be able to even love your wife or your husband. Just don't wait. Because when you take the offense, immediately you feel, oh, I'm offended. I'm about to cry. Right? That's emotions. They're there. It's just you got to deal with it. But your response is one where you willingly obey God and choose not to do the same to her. So your response, yeah, you can cry. You can say, you offended me. But you're not going to pay evil with evil. Your tone, you're not going to be rude. You're not going to scream. You're not going to punch. That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's clear there. What about the enemy? The same thing, right? What about those people that have taken a life of someone that you love? What about the neighbor that never say hi? As a matter of fact, every time there's a party or barbecue, throw trash out your backyard. What about those that are hard to love among us? What about those that have gone through certain backgrounds or experiences and they're still dealing with that, and they just need help to know the God's love in their life deeper so they are able to respond more appropriately? So our response will be, I'm giving up. I'm not going to even deal with you anymore. That's the immediate response if you're talking about feelings and emotion. You offended me. I don't have nothing to you because you're hard to love. So I don't know. Hey, come over. No, I don't think so. See, that's immediate response. But this agape love say, you know what? I go and walk with you the extra mile. Isn't it amazing? And only God can do this. Only Him. Christian love is not a feeling. It's a commitment. It's a lifestyle. We all should be known by this agape love. It must be present in our life. It's a must. It's not an option. You truly one of His, we must display. So love is a trademark of a Christian. John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God. See? 1 John 4:20. If anyone said, I love God and hates his brother, that person is a liar. You see that? That person is a liar who says to love God and hates his brother. The one who loves is the one who has been born again, the one who truly is a Christian. So I ask again, do you love God? After hearing what you heard this morning, do you love God? Second and follow-up question, do you love me? Do you love your brother? How can we love others? How can I love like Christ? Well, let me help you. I will try to help you as I have been helped. For the unbeliever, you can love like Christ love. This kind of love requires God's Spirit. So without His Spirit, it is inhumanly. It's not humanly possible. So you can love. You cannot love like Christ love. People don't naturally love like 1 Corinthians 13. They can't love like the Word says. But I have a question for you if you are not a believer here. Do you want to love like Christ love? To love like him, there must be a change of the heart. You must repent and believe in Jesus. You must recognize that you are a sinner before God, and then understand that Christ died on the cross and rose again for the forgiveness of your sin. And I said that that is the greatest manifestation of God giving willingly out of love his son to die on the cross so your sins can be forgiven. So that's what we presented to you if you are an unbeliever here this morning. You must recognize that you need salvation, that you are a sinner desperately in need of help and forgiveness. And remember, Jesus is the only way, and he is the only way not only to the Father, but the only way for salvation. Now, for the believer, brethren, grasp a hold of the gospel. Love God as God of salvation. His law shines supremely on the cross. So you need to go back and look at the cross again. Please pray for a fresh look at the cross. Cling to it. See what happened there. Pray, Lord, help me to understand deeper what happened on the cross. Just remember that our sins were forgiven on the cross. And our love is a divine work of the Holy Spirit. And it is divine because the response is triggered by something that is outside us. It is something greater, and that is his grace who strengthens us to respond in a godly way. And we respond because of his love and grace and mercy for us. So if you have an understanding, if you put the truth in your mind, your response will be based on the grace and mercy of God. So as you learn to love God, that's going to trigger you and strengthen you to respond in love. And I'm talking about that perfect love that is almost, you know, it seems unattainable. But by his grace, his power that enable us to love one another this way, as Christ loved us. Don't forget this. The law commands love. But Jesus is the only one who can produce this love. He's the only one who can produce us to love. Second, meditate much in the scripture. Meditate. What we learned today, meditate day and night. Meditate in this word. Memorize them. Go back again. Listen or hear or take the Bible, study them, go deeper, research, read, study hard, and memorize these verses. And pray that this word stay in your heart, in your mind. You repeat it yourself, even daily. Take a walk. Take a walk. Meditate, repeat to yourself this biblical truth. You must preach it to yourself. Why? So it can steer you to love. If you know the love of God, you meditate and you preach to yourself. This is a great exercise, meditation. Be on guard, treasure the word of God, and use it as a divine medicine against lies from the enemies and the enticement of the world. That's why I'm calling you to meditate and to exercise this faith, to exercise this hope, right? Because when we go out in the world, we need to be ready for war. As a matter of fact, as you're walking out, you're already battling flesh against the spirit. So imagine if you are off guard, you go in the world, and you see how people cool things around you, and that's going to be your distraction. But if you're meditating, if you are on guard with this biblical truth, that's going to steer your love and say, well, you offend me, I choose to do this. And then you keep walking and battling day and night. There's no other way. So think about a divine medicine when we go out there to fight against the lies of the enemy and the enticement of this world. So may the Lord help you and help me to love the way He loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Forgive us, Father, that we don't love the same way you love us. As we meditate in your word, you gave the best from you. You gave it all. You gave your son to die on the cross. And still we act in rebellion. Father, it is pride that make us think that we can love without you. It is prideful to think I can do this on my own. As we see Christ, he humbled himself, so much to learn from him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can read, learn from you. Thank you for teaching us your will. And I pray, Lord, that you help us at the church to love one another as you love us. And Father, to be known by this love, that everybody knows that we're truly yours, that we are your children. And Father, I pray if there's one among us that doesn't know you, that you open the heart, remove the heart of stone to give the understanding of this great love, the love manifested on the cross, that there's grace and forgiveness for them, and they can also love like you love. So may you help us, Father, please. It is in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, 15.